Hey, everybody, it's Kai Ryssdal. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Corner Office Podcast. We're going to Hollywood for this one. I'm talking to the guy behind some of the highest returning Christian films of all time. Movies like Heaven is for Real, also Miracles from Heaven. Devon Franklin is his name. He is the CEO of Franklin Entertainment, author of a book called The Hollywood Commandments. And I originally spoke to him right before his latest film, it's called The Star, came out in theaters. But we talked about a lot more than just movies, like how over an 18-year career in Hollywood, he climbed the ladder all the way from intern to a senior executive job at Sony, where he was for a good long while before he left it all to start his own production company. It's a good story. Here it is, my interview with Devon Franklin.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
Devon Franklin, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on the program.
Oh, snap. There's a whole lot to talk about with you and the book and the movie and all of that, but I want to lean right into who you are in this place. You say in this book that the church didn't necessarily teach you to be successful. Hollywood did.
Yes.
Explain that a little bit.
I know. That line alone probably has gotten me uninvited to some churches. What I mean by that is that, you know, the church has an awesome function and has played a vital role in my life and a very important role. However, the church is not a one-stop shop. So when it comes to practically learning how to be successful, learning how to deal with difficult people, learning how to negotiate, learning how to make films, learning how to accelerate in my career, I didn't learn those things in the church. I learned those in Hollywood. So I say that Hollywood made me successful. The church didn't, as a way to let people know that too often we try to say, oh, it has to be, everything has to be spiritual or everything has to be secular. I'm saying, no, I believe it's a combination of both. And in my experience as a spiritual person, it was the secular world that taught me the most that I've learned to date about success.
This will irritate perhaps you and perhaps some listeners, but it cannot have escaped your notice that you developed your professional skills. I don't want to call Hollywood a godless place, but it's a place that is hedonistic and driven by profit and mana and all of that jazz, mm-hmm. which does not necessarily line up with a lot mm-hmm. of the Christian and spiritual things that you talk about in this book and in your life.
Right, but that's the beauty of it, right? I think too often we put a requirement on an environment that is not what the environment is supposed to do, right? Hollywood, to a degree, is democratic. Hollywood is agnostic. And what I have found is that, and I talk about this in the book, a couple of things is that when you look at Hollywood, Hollywood is just a microcosm for so many other industries. And what I mean by that is that if you are a spiritual person and you're going into the world, right, you're going into secular environments that do not profess to hold your belief system.
Right.
But that's okay because you're there to learn something from them. You're there to say, okay, if you're being called to an industry, it's how you navigate that industry, not how you allow that industry to navigate you.
What you just said, called to an industry.
Yes.
You believe you were called to Hollywood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't
explain
be here.
That.
What I mean is that I feel like this is a part of my purpose. I believe it's a part of what I am designed to do. I believe it's what I was created to do, in part, was to be a part of this industry and to help make change. Because, you know, I lost my father at the age of 9 from a heart attack when he died at 36. And my mom didn't have money for therapy. So it was church and it was entertainment. It was Hollywood that kind of helped me heal. And I really felt like, well, I want to be a part of the industry because if this industry can have this type of impact on me, then I want to be a part of an industry that can actually do that for others. So that was the goal. And when I've seen things kind of transpire in my 20-year career in Hollywood, I do
20 years?
That.
How old are you? Get out of here.
I'm 39, 20? Man.
Wow.
I started at 18.
Wow.
Yes. So I do see that.
Let's roll it back a little bit. You spent 10 years at Sony. You worked for Amy Pascal. You've had a substantial amount of success in this industry for a young guy.
Yes.
Where'd you come from is the question.
Yeah, I came from Oakland, from the Bay Area, middle child of three boys, and knew that I wanted to be in Hollywood, as I mentioned earlier, and I knew that I had to come to Los Angeles in order to do it because L.A. is the capital of Hollywood. And so I went to the University of Southern California. I majored in business. I minored in film, and I knew that I needed to get an internship. Because even though at the time when I was 18 going to college, even though I knew I wanted to be in Hollywood, I still had no experience with Hollywood. So I needed to put myself in an environment to give me practical knowledge on whether or not this is what I was supposed to do. And I went in for an internship interview at the company that managed Will Smith. They also managed Jada and Babyface and Puffy. Or at the time, he was known as Puffy.
Yeah, what
now
is he called
he's
now?
P. Diddy. I heard he just changed his name to Brother Love. I don't know. Sean Combs.
I heard that was a hoax. I don't know. I heard that he was just kidding.
And I went in for the internship interview. And in the interview, they asked me, you know, well, why did I want to be in entertainment? And I said, well, I want to be in entertainment because I want to make change in the world. And then she said, well, is there anything else you want me to know? And at the end of the interview, I felt compelled to tell her about my Sabbath observance. You know, as a Christian, I was raised observing the Sabbath. Yeah. So Friday night sundown, Saturday night sundown, I don't work. And so I told her in the internship interview, I said, I won't take this internship if it requires me to work on the Sabbath. And she said, okay, no worries. We'll work around it. But what that did was, again, it showed me, okay, I can be who I am.
Right.
And as long as I'm clear on who I am, there will be a path made. And if there's not a path made, that's okay. I'll go find another path. But I don't want Hollywood more than I want who I really am.
Do you still do the Sabbath?
Oh, yeah. Every job. When I was an executive at MGM, yeah. executive at Sony yeah. for Amy. Now I'm as a producer. Like, you will not right. find me on set on Sabbath. Still do it to this very day. Hmm.
I want to talk about this making change thing, because yeah. the idea of the Christian slice of the entertainment industry is, it's not new, but it's nascent, I think is a good word for it, mm-hmm. right? Did you come here with the intent of building that market?
Not even a little bit. It all happened organically. You know, I as I've mentioned, I'm from Oakland, and I started preaching when I was 15.
I can hear that.
I love it. Because my uncle just said, hey, you know, my aunt who was the youth leader. And she's like, we're having youth day. We want you to preach. So I did. And so as I started preaching, people said, oh, you should go into ministry. I said, no way. I'm going to Hollywood. I don't want to have anything to do with ministry. And then my uncle, who was our pastor, would say, you can run, but you can't hide. I said, well, I'm running really fast. And it wasn't until I graduated USC and I took an assistant job for Will Smith's producing partner. And my uncle called me that same year and said, can you come up once a month to Oakland to preach for me? And I didn't want to do it. But because he had such an influence in my life, I said, I'll do it. So I was an assistant at Will Smith's company, Overbrook, and once a month I would go up to preach. And as I started doing that, people started finding out about it at work, and they would say, hey, can we do Bible study during lunch? You know, would you pray with me? You know, or I'm having a hard time. Can you give me some advice? And so that was kind of awkward. I was like, oh, interesting. I never thought that, you know, what I was doing in my faith life would creep into, my professional life. And so long story short, it wasn't until I became an executive at Sony in 2005. The first movie I worked on was Pursuit of Happiness. Yeah. The movie was so inspirational and so powerful. I just said, this movie is going to speak to people of faith because I'm a person of faith and it's speaking to me. And so I put together a whole marketing and publicity campaign on how to take the message of faith to the faith-based audience. And Sony bought into it. Will bought into it. And we did a huge faith-based campaign to help supplement the mainstream campaign. And that film became successful.
So it's interesting. So Pursuit of Happiness, Will Smith, give the blurb. I mean, very quickly.
Yeah.
No, you give the blurb. It escapes me.
Well, you know, I mean, Pursuit of Happiness was one of those films that, you know, about Chris Gardner Jr.
Right.
I mean, Chris Gardner. And, you know, he was a guy who had great dreams and he was trying to, you know, become a stockbroker. Yeah. And he was homeless with his son. And it was a powerful story of how he did not give up on his dream. And as a result, he changed his life and his family's life forever. And with that film, you know, it was the church in the real story
right.
that took him in. He stayed in the shelter with his son, and the church was a big part of giving him what he needed. And I love that moment. And so when we put together this marketing campaign, it was all about, let's translate the value of faith to the audience. And when I did that, the film ended up making $160 million domestic.
Boatload of money. Yeah.
Huge. But what it showed me was like, oh, wow, I can merge my passions here. So I can merge, you know, the idea that I'm passionate about faith and the idea that I'm passionate about film, and I can find a path. And so I didn't know that until that moment. It was never it was never clear to me. And then from there did other films like Not Easily Broken, Jumping the Broom, Sparkle, and then ultimately Heaven is for Real,
right.
which opened up the door for me to start Franklin Entertainment.
Heaven is for Real does quite well.
You
have a conversation with Amy Pascal in which you say, this was great, but I got to go.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
In that moment, man, you know, people think I was crazy, but like, I can't make movies of faith if I'm not living by faith. And so Amy had emailed me that weekend and she emailed me twice. In the first email, she was like, oh, you know, aren't you happy? This is great. And I just responded, yeah, I'm so grateful. And the second email, she's like, oh, yeah, because the grosses just kept going up. So the second email, she's like, oh, my goodness, this is amazing. And so instead of just taking in the praise, I said, oh, wait a minute. There's an opportunity here, because I came to Hollywood to produce that when I was 18 years old. I always wanted my own company. And when Heaven is for Real came out, I was 36. And when she emailed me the second time, I said, oh, wait. I said, Amy, hey, can I come see you? And she's like, oh, yeah, of course. So we set the meeting for Tuesday. And I got in the meeting and she's like, oh, you know, what are we going to do next? And we want to promote you. We want to give you more money. And I said, nope. I said, I quit. Because I knew that there was an opportunity. And if I did not take out the equity that I had and put it in my own account, I would have missed it. Because in Hollywood, whenever you have a hit, you now have some equity that you can spend. And you got to figure out what you want to use it on. And for me, I said, now's the time. So I said, I'm quitting and I want to start Franklin Entertainment and I want you to fund it. And she looked at me and she was like, okay. All right. And what I love about the story and why I share the anecdote was it took months and months to negotiate the deal. And just about as soon as we're done negotiating the deal, the Sony computers got hacked. And all the information, you know, got out. And as a result, Amy lost her job.
Yeah.
And so I share that anecdote to say that, you know, there are sometimes we have to move when we feel that we have that feeling. It doesn't quite make sense.
Because if you'd waited, man, forget it, right?
If I waited, I forget it. Right. Because the negotiation would got caught up in the hack and it would have been done.
Right.
So I love to share that anecdote to say, hey, you got to move when you feel it. And as a result, I now have a company, you know, and I've been able to make Miracles from Heaven and The Star, you know, which is coming out. So in so many other films. So it's been awesome to be able to have that. But it would have never happened if I hadn't stepped out on faith.
You are obviously very upfront about your faith, both personally and professionally. Do you get pushback ever? That from people in your professional life?
No.
So like, I just want to make movies, man.
No,
let me alone.
No, not in my professional life. In my spiritual life, I get pushed back.
Is that right? So the spiritual life pushes back against you being part of Hollywood.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me.
They do. I mean, but what's weird is that, and I talk about this in my book, The Hollywood Commandments, Hollywood is a place that embraces difference even more readily than the church. Because in Hollywood, ultimately, the point you brought up earlier is true. Hollywood is the favorite color of Hollywood is green.
Yeah, right.
Period. So if you're talented, if you have purple hair, if you have a different belief system, but you can use that talent to create profit.
It goes to what you said. You make a hit movie, you got lots of equity.
There you go.
Lots of capital,
so
right.
So Hollywood in that way is very agnostic, whereas the church, you know, criticizes me a lot, say, well, certain segments of the church.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, well, you're just too secular and you know, you're too immersed in it.
Wow.
But I say, you know, listen, if Jesus said, you know, be in the world, right? Not of it, be in it. So I have to be in what I'm doing if I ever have a chance or desire to want to impact it.
Tell me about the movie, The Star.
I mean,
it's like an A-list voiceover cast. So first of all, it's animated, we should say, but it's an A-list cast.
Yes, The Star is the story of the nativity, but from the animal's point of view. And it's the first movie in the history of Hollywood for a major studio to make a Bible story in CGI animation first. And this story is incredible because you mentioned A-list cast. We have some of the best cast in the world. From Steven Yeun to Keegan-Michael Key to A.D. Bryant from SNL to Oprah, Tyler Perry to Anthony Anderson, Kristen Chenoweth, Kelly Clarkson, Gina Rodriguez, Zachary Levi, Ving Rhames, and Mariah Carey doing the soundtrack. I mean, we just have everybody. But the reason why so many of these stars wanted to be a part of it is because they love the concept. They love the story. And that's one of the things that, you know, a point you mentioned earlier, which I'll dovetail back to help answer this question, is that people think that Hollywood is a place without faith. That just is not true. And I'll describe that two ways. One, every time you go to the box office, there are movies that you can see. Every single movie represents an act of faith because studios spend millions upon millions of dollars, in some cases, hundreds of millions of dollars, and they have no guarantee who's going to see it. That's faith. Every time you turn on TV, there's a program that somebody spent millions of dollars. So the town runs on this belief system. And the other part about faith, there's a lot of stars that came from the church. That's in their background.
Yeah.
And so they're always looking for ways that they can still give back and still get back in touch with their origin, but in a way that feels safe. And grateful. Thankfully, the movies that I do for, you know, when you look at Miracles from Heaven, Heaven is for Real, and all the other films, and now The Star, it's an opportunity for some of these stars who haven't had a chance to bring that into their career to do it in a way that feels safe, in a way that feels accessible.
You've got another 35 years in this business,
yes,
plus or minus.
Yeah.
Do you see a day when your company and you decide to make secular films and get more mainstream, I guess is the word?
Well, see, but here's the thing. These films are secular, right?
That it's the nativity told by animals in, you know, I mean, come on, right?
Right, okay. But where can you go see the film? right? You see the film in a secular environment. You're seeing the film at AMC, Regal. Yep. It's going all around the world, right? So for me, when I think about it, I don't think like, oh, this is just a spiritual film for a spiritual audience. I actually think that this is a film that is spiritual, that is made to, you know, help the secular audience and the spiritual audience.
So I'm the one making the false dichotomy, right?
Yeah,
no, I mean,
yeah,
right? It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, because when I look at entertainment, at the end of the day, all these films have to be entertaining. So when I look at it, I'm not looking at it like, okay, how do I make a Bible story or a Sunday school lesson? I'm saying, how do I make great entertainment? And great entertainment is great storytelling. So for me, these stories are just that. They're great stories. And when you look at different genres, you know, I'm passionate about, you know, films that are uplifting, inspiring, sure, that have themes of faith. So, okay, great. Let me find stories that can do that, where some producers may be passionate about horror and they find stories that can do that. Huh. And some producers find, you know, stories that are comedies and they're passionate about that. I look at it the exact same way. This is my passion, and I find it incredibly spiritual and secular at the same time.
All right, so that's it. That was Devon Franklin, CEO and founder of Franklin Entertainment, producer of The Star, also of The Hollywood Commandments. That's a book. It's out now. Thanks for listening and for leaving us those comments and reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much for doing it, and keep on doing it because it really helps. If you're seeing people you know or family this week, maybe recommend your favorite Corner Office podcast to them. How about that? We do appreciate it. This episode was produced by Sean McHenry and Bridget Bonder. Marketplace is produced by Nancy Fargali. Sitar Nieves is the executive director of On Demand around here. Deborah Clark is the senior vice president and general manager. I'm Kai Rizdal. We'll see you next time.